Sad news in the world of rock and roll. This guy right here. One of the great drummers in the history of the medium.
I would argue best of all time.
I think a lot of people do argue that. Neil Peart has died of brain cancer. And joining us right now, he's the drummer from Rush, the 1970s into the 80s mega band. Canadian mega band. It was a trio. And the three of them traveled the world. Unbelievable. Given the fact that there were three of them, and then, of course, they used backup artists and stuff like that when they were on tour. But my God, what an amazing sound they were able to create between Geddy Lee's vocals and Neil Peart on drums. It was just an absolute, just a mesmerizing thing to see. And as a drummer, he would not just drum from the drum kit. That drum kit would fly. That thing would move. I mean, they were using the fact that he was, it would circle around him while he was drumming. They used all kinds of techniques like that had become pretty important in the 1970s. A lot of bands were using those kinds of theatrical techniques. And Rush did it very, very, very well. And Neil Peart, you know, if you go down in the list of the greatest drummers of all times, as I did once with Howard Kramer, the curator, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame from 2001 to 2014, I got into an argument with him, so he's back right now. And let's just talk a little bit first, Howard, about the legacy of Neil Peart.
Well, Ro, it's a really, really sad day, and it's a great loss to music, even though, despite the fact that Neil had retired and hung up his drumsticks, as it were. He was a young man, and he had way too much tragedy in his life, in addition to the great artistic contributions he made. And it's a phenomenal loss, incalculable.
Let's talk a little bit about all the trouble that he's had in his life.
Well, talk about him personally. During some of Rush's heyday, first he lost his daughter in a car accident. She was 19 years old. Shortly thereafter, his wife of many years died of cancer. And there was, at that time, it was speculated whether or not he would continue playing. And he found a lot of therapy and a way to discover himself again by continuing to make music. So he threw himself back into it, and Rush continued to tour and perform. He found love again. He met another woman. They married. They had another child. He has he leaves behind a wife and I believe a 10-year-old daughter, 9 or 10-year-old daughter. But after the last Rush tour, he was done, and he felt he had made his pivot on life. He had found joy again, and he certainly didn't need money. They were fabulously wealthy guys, and he decided to he moved to the United States, lived in Southern California, and was raising a family. And unfortunately, this happened. It was kept very closely under wraps.
Did he have brain cancer? Is that what we are?
Yes, that's the cause that's being given. It was, as I said, kept tightly under wraps. I'd spoken to someone in the Rush camp a few months ago because there were these rumors about them coming back and doing a reunion tour. And it was made very clear to me at that time, Neil has no intention of playing again. But, Geddy and Alex were going to continue to make music of some sort. It's a great loss. He was such an innovative musician on such an incredible scale. He was a guy who could swing like a jazz player, but he was also incredibly innovative in terms of creating new time signatures and playing off the incredible dexterity of Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee. I mean, these guys are players almost without peer. I will admit, personally, I was never a huge fan of this, but I was an amazing admirer of this. And I had seen them several times, and every time you just shake your head, because human beings can't master an instrument like this, right? How do you make music like that? And Neil was foundational. Granted, he wasn't the original drummer of Rush, of course. I mean, you're aware of that, right?
Yes.
There's a guy named John Rutsey, who left the band, and the guys were lucky enough to find him. John, unfortunately, has also passed away. But he redefined what that band was. So, musically and in terms of possibilities.
Howard Kramer, we're talking to. He's the former curator of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at the museum in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Now, before we before we go any further on this, the death of Neil Peart. Yeah. Yes, he was the second drummer from Rush, but he was also the primary lyricist after 1975 for the band. So that meant he was the guy, not the singer, obviously, the guy who was writing the words. And that's really, it was that 2112 that really blew them up. I mean, made them both commercial and stoner all at the same time, because that was there was an era, right, in which that kind of thing was going on. I mean, these concept albums of the 1960s had sort of paved away, and then there were some bands like The Who and even Elton John that were doing concept albums into the 1970s. But then there was in the Rolling Stones, but then there was a new generation, and this was sort of a half step generation younger than Pink Floyd, and they were going to do the same kind of stuff, but without the sort of European sensibilities, but the Canadian sensibilities. They were like very much more workmanlike about it, and that's I think why they were such a gigantic hit.
Yeah, the one thing about 2112 in that era, the transition from John Rutsey to Neil Peart, was it was a slow climb. Those guys worked insanely hard. I mean, they were a constant touring act, and at the time, the demand was you put out one or sometimes two albums a year. So it was on the road, write material, get in the studio, record it, get back on the road, and they did that gravy train for a very, very long time, and it paid off. They built an audience, person by person, city by city, and eventually, they became major attractions. And in a sense, like Pink Floyd, it wasn't about personality. I mean, you can name the guys in Pink Floyd, we can name the guys in Rush, but it wasn't like Jagger and Richards or Townsend and Daltrey. It was the group, and the group did everything as a unit.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I want to play something right here. This is on the David Letterman show. Neil Peart appeared and did a drum solo. He was that. You remember they would have unbelievable guest sit-ins, right?
Yes.
For the David Letterman band, because was the only, really the only band that you could ever do that. Kind of came off of the Carson show. Every once in a while, you get like a guest conductor or something that was wild, and Letterman loved that. And so but then he upped the ante. So arguably the greatest drummer in rock and roll history sits in, and this is what it sounded like. This is just the first 30 seconds of 5 minutes of this. And one of the things about rock and roll, Howard Kramer from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you would be able to know this better than anybody. The dreaded drum solo has been used by rock bands since the arena era so that the guys could go back downstairs, go pee, or do a line of coke or heroin or whatever it was, so they could come back up on the stage, right? And it was the drummer was always the hardest working guy because he stayed out there and did it.
Yeah, they often had to hang that one on the drummer. Yeah, oftentimes you hear the guys in the Faces would hang it on Kenny Jones, make him go do a solo, and they'd go knock back a bottle of scotch or something, or a toot and a puff. But the one thing about the other guys in Rush is they kept it pretty clean for a long time. I think Alex at one point might have had a substance issue, but they really approached their music with a purity and a sense of purpose and intention. I want to go back and actually mention something about lyrics. One thing that I worked on.
We're talking about the fact that, hold on, let me just set this back up, because Neil Peart from Rush is just announced he passed away from brain cancer, and he was not only one of the greatest drummers of all times, but also, I think, far less known, was the lyricist for Rush after 1975.
Yeah, and within the band's fans, obviously, there's a great deal of reverence for that. But here's something that I was given access to. I was collecting from Rush, and I wanted to get manuscripts, and I knew obviously that Neil was a collector. I found out also he was really, he's really into cars and motorcycles and such.
Yeah.
But not only would he deliver the lyrics to the band, but the lyrics he delivered in this amazing calligraphy that he would do. His handwriting was incredibly precise. He would do these drawings around the edges of paper. Oftentimes it was on graph paper, and It was an incredible sight to see.
Howard, I've got to run here, but thank you so much for giving your expertise on this. It's a sad day. Sad day in rock and roll. Howard Kramer, the curator of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame from basically 20 years. Yeah, 2001 to 2014. We've got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2. Chicago's very own.